please, for the reading of the Word of God this morning. And we'll try our best to get right into the message. I hope we'll be a help and encouragement to you as a child of God. Amen. You sojourn along in this life, waiting for the coming of the Lord. Amen. We're watching and waiting and longing for that wonderful day when Jesus will appear. All right. Everybody standing, everybody with their Bibles open to the book of Hosea, chapter number 2. Hosea, chapter number 2. Right after the book of Daniel, Ezekiel, Daniel, and Hosea. Hosea and chapter number 2 in the Word of God this morning. Hosea chapter 2, I'm going to begin reading in verse 1 again today. We continue our study in this book. Hosea says, "Say ye unto your brethren, Am I, and to your sisters, Ruhamah, plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst." Now may the Lord add His blessing to that. And let's pray together. I've got a little sermonette this morning I'm going to try to give you, and try to get through it as quickly as possible. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful this morning, Lord, for the Sunday school hour. We are thankful for the singing that we've enjoyed today, the songs, Lord, that's graced my heart. I rejoice in the songs of Zion, singing about the Lord Jesus that loved us and died for us and rose again for our justification. I thank you this morning for those visitors you've sent by our way. And I pray the service a special blessing upon them, a divine help to their heart and life. I'd ask you this morning to bless the preacher as I stand. Provide liberty and divine help for me, Lord. I need that touch of the Holy Spirit this morning. I pray for liberty in the house of God, and may you work freely through the pews of the people here, work in their hearts to bring glory to Jesus and bless into their heart and life. May precious souls be saved, Lord. May lives be changed and our Lord Jesus be glorified and the church edified, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to take our text this morning out of verse number 2 and preach a little while from there where Hosea makes this statement. He said, "Plead with your mother, plead." I'll say a few things about the book, and then I'll get into the thought. But I want to preach this morning on this thought: plead with them earnestly. Plead with them earnestly. Hosea said, "Plead with your mother, plead." Say, in verse 1, he said, "Unto your brethren, Am I, and to your sisters, Ruhamah, plead with your mother, plead." And so I want to preach a little while on that this morning, on plead with them earnestly. Now the scope of the second chapter is just much like chapter number 1. Hosea is showing Israel their sin and the dangerous place that it had brought them to. And may I say to you this morning that sin will always lead you farther than you want to go. Every time. And any time we're flirting with sin, we're flirting with danger. You realize the Bible said that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a holy God. How true that is. And Israel here had flirted with sins and idolatries and spiritual idolatry and had drifted so far away from God. But yet God also promises His abundant mercy upon them again. You remember in verse 1, He said, "You're not my people and I'm not your God. And I'll not show you mercy or pity anymore."
But he turned right around and said in verses 10 and 11 of that chapter that he would show them mercy and they would be called his people again. And so God not only here shows them the dangerous place that they're living in, but he also promises God's abundant mercy again toward them. Now, you know, we as God's people in this present hour ought to rejoice in that. No, the Bible said in the book of Corinthians that those things that were written in those days were written for our admonition and for our learning. And we ought to realize that if God was merciful with Israel when they sinned against Him, that God would be merciful to you and I as well today. And I'm not propagating the fact that you go out and sin. I'm simply saying that there is mercy with the Lord. Thank God His mercy endureth forever. And His mercy endureth to every generation. And there is mercy with our Lord to be had. Now, we see in these verses the expressions of a loving and yet a provoked husband. He is convincing his spouse who dealt falsely with him, and he's showing her sin and danger. But while he is manifesting his displeasure, his bowels of compassion begin to yearn, and he must use some expressions of love in the midst of it all. I want to remind you this morning that Hosea is writing here about Hosea. The Bible said God had told him to go marry a wife of whoredoms and to bear children of whoredoms. And in this chapter, apparently that wife has left him again. You know, he married her once and she has apparently left him here again. And he's pleading with her to come home. He's pleading with her to put away her adulteries and her fornications from betwixt her breasts, and to come back home unto him. And he's even telling his children to plead with your mother. Plead with your mother. Plead earnestly with your mother that she will come back home. You know, I feel sorry for anyone that's in that condition today. But you'd be amazed at the women and men today that are married together and they're living constantly in adultery and a fornication with one another. God help us today that God would help us to these people to find the Lord and to get over this. In fact, you know, Miss Hall, and I'm not going to mention the lady's name, but there is a lady that's been writing to Mrs. Hall. And she got a phone call one day, and I realized the name on the phone call was not really the name that she had been using. And so I did a backward search on the phone call. Lo and behold, it come up with a man's name that was not the woman's name. So my wife simply wrote her and asked her, I've got two questions. She said, I want to ask you a question. Number one, are you married? And number two, are you drinking? And this woman wrote back and was all up in the air about the fact that she had committed no sin and that Mrs. Hall was being judgmental. That the man that she was there, they were just boarding together, and that she was taking, he was taking care of her, and the only time that she drank was under the instruction of her doctor's care. Well, I want to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, my Bible tells me to abstain from all appearance of evil. And we can say what we want to say, but I'm telling you, living together and shacking up is still sin in the eyes of God. And the marriage is honorable, and the bed is undefiled in all. But whoremongers and adulterers, the Bible said that God will judge. And I'm telling you, there's people today that claim to love God, and they're living together in adultery and sin against the Holy God. That's right. Amen. I had to get a little bit of that in. Hallelujah. Now, she's dealing falsely with him. But again, he rebukes her and shows her sin, and then his bowels yearn toward her again. And you know, the Lord, just like Hosea, is very long-suffering and merciful. But there does come a time when God's mercy is when the Lord's mercy seems to run out for a season, and that mercy ceases and judgment must come. And judgment is about to fall on the nation of Israel. They're soon to be carried away into captivity. May I say to you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, that sin will lead you down that pathway. And sin will lead a nation down that path. Israel had so sinned against God that He was leading them into captivity. And He's telling Hosea, plead with them, Hosea. Tell your children to plead with them, Hosea, that they will return unto the Lord. You know, that ought to be our cry for America. I'm here to tell you that America is farther down the tube than what we want to realize. We're embracing homosexuality. We're embracing same-sex marriage. We're embracing the sodomite community and promoting them on every hand. We're killing babies by the million. Amen. Now I'm here to tell you, and that's right. And then the world is a drunken world and a sick, sex sin society that we're living in. Now I'm telling you that God's judgment, God will fall on America. His mercy will endure for a while. But if you don't give heed to God's call of repentance, judgment will fall on a nation. And it did on the nation of Israel. Amen. That's right. Now, stay right with me. Now, please remember that the Lord's mercy is available here only because of God's covenant with His people. Thank God for that covenant that He's made with His people. And in wrath, God will still remember mercy. Now I want to look at three possibilities of this message, and I'll get into the message. You just bear right with me. Hosea could be looking when he said in verse number 1, say ye unto your brethren, am I, and to your sisters, Ruhamah. Hosea could be looking to Judah, the southern tribe, to plead with adulterous Israel, who was being carried away by Assyria into captivity. And he's pleading with them to return to God by putting away their sin, and their adulteries, and return to God that they might have mercy. Because he says here, say unto them, am I? And say unto them, Rahumai. He said in verse 1, he said, you're not my people, but he said, here, plead with them and tell them that they are my people, and plead with them and tell them that there is mercy to be had of the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you, God still honors repentance, ladies and gentlemen, whether it be in Israel or whether it be in us today, that those that are out in sin and away from God, God will still grant mercy to them if they will repent and call upon His wonderful name. And so he could be using that. Or he could be asking his children to plead with their mother, who was the wife of whoredoms, to return to their father before he brings judgment upon her. Listen to verse 3. He said, I'll strip her naked. I'll set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. And so Hosea could be telling Ammi and Rahumah to plead with Lo-Ammi and Lo-Rahumah that they plead with their mother to return, to come back, to come away from her place of whoredom. But if I want to preach for a little while, my intention today is not to preach on that at all. But my intention today is to apply this unto the church and those that you and I today know and love. Those in our life that we ought to be pleading for. Amen. Those in our life that we ought to be praying for. Those that we know that are away from God. Yes. That they're out in sin. That they're lost and on their way to hell. Amen. I'm telling you, we live in an unconcerned generation that is letting the world roll by. and we're letting multiplied millions of people plummet off into hell without God and without hope. And I'm afraid there's very few people in the world today that is pleading for their soul. He said, plead, plead with your mother, plead. I want to say to you today, we're going to be pleading earnestly with God. Pleading earnestly with God for those that are away from Him to come home. I'm telling you, we have forgotten, church, that there is a Christless eternity and a devil's hell that awaits everybody that meets God without being born again by the grace of God. Somebody asked old B.R. Lakin once, said, why do you preach so much on you must be born again? He said, because you must be born again. Now I'm telling you, without the new birth, without being regenerated, without being birthed into the family of God, a sinner will die and go to hell forever and eternity. And I don't care what the evangelist up in North Carolina said. Hell is a literal burning fire where the souls of men will be tormented day and night. And the Bible said forever and ever. Hey, if we really got a hold of that, that our loved ones that are lost are going to burn in hell forever and ever, I believe we'd plead with God a little more earnestly to be merciful to them and save them. That's what I want to plead on today. Plead with them earnestly. Plead with them. Not only plead with them, but plead with God. Now I'll mention that in just a minute. But plead with them. But who are we going to plead for? I say we're going to plead for the people in general that we know, that live around us. Paul said in the book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Amen. Can I ask you this morning, when was the last time that we got on our face and pleaded with God for our neighbor? Right. And then we put some feet on them prayers and went and pleaded with our neighbor to come to the house of God that they might be saved. Oh, I'm telling you, we ought to plead with them earnestly. I'm just not talking about get down and say some little old prayer that don't amount to a hill of beans. I'm talking about from the heart asking God to be merciful to them and pleading with God, then put some feet on their prayers and plead with them that are around us. Paul said, my heart's desire. This is from my heart. My heart's desire and my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Then he said in chapter 9, said in chapter number 9 and verse 3, he said, for I could wish myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, for my kinsmen according to the flesh. I wonder if you and I love our kinsmen enough. Amen. Our kinfolk enough that we could honestly say, Lord, you can curse me and send me to hell if you'll save them. Amen. Somebody said, nobody would ever say that. I beg you to differ with you. Moses said that when he was pleading with Israel and pleading for the nation of Israel. He said, blot my name out of your book. God said, I'll blot whoever's name out. I want to blot out Moses. But I'm telling you, Moses was ready to die and go to hell. Paul was ready to die and go to hell for the kinsmen those around him that he knew was lost and going to hell for his kinsmen in the flesh. He pleaded with them and then pleaded with God to save them by His marvelous grace. I'm telling you, we don't have much of a praying generation today. Are you listening to me? We're going to get on down to where the rubber meets the road here in just a minute, so stay right with me. Now listen very carefully. We ought to plead with them patiently. He said, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Did you notice that word continual? In other words, he's saying we ought not just to pray for them. We ought not just to pray for them one time. Don't plead just once. Amen. And the text says, plead with your mother. Plead. A lot of folks want to get down and pray one time and say, well, I prayed for so-and-so that's lost. But that's not what Hosea is talking about here. He said, plead with your mother. Plead.
In other words, start pleading and don't stop pleading until you prevail in the prayer and God grants the petition that you required Him. I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there's lost people all around us today that need to be prayed for that are dying and going to hell without God, and we're so unconcerned about it that we won't even pray for them, much less go and knock on their door and tell them about the grace of God that God died on the cross for their sins, and they're going to hell unless they come to God. Amen. Even bring them to the house of God if that be necessary. Plead with them patiently. Don't give up. I've told you this story. I'll tell it again. I prayed. We used to have a prayer meeting in Brother Nolan's office on Thursday nights when I was up there. And I prayed for my brothers to be saved over and over and over again. This one fellow in church, I love him. He's a good friend. But he come to me and he said, Brother Gary, said, you don't have any faith. And I said, well, why not? And he said, well, said, you prayed for your brothers to be saved every time we come in here and have a prayer meeting. I said, well, what's wrong with that? He said, if you've got faith, you'll just be able to ask one time, and that's all you need to ask. Well, I'm going to tell you what the Lord said. The Lord said, ask and you shall receive. Amen. Right. Seek and you shall find, and knock and it shall be opened unto you. And He's not talking about asking once or seeking once or knocking once. He's talking about continually knocking. He stood at the door of the church, amen, of Laodicea in Revelation number 3, and stood at the door and knocked and said, if any man will open, I'll come in. You think He knocked one time and left? He continued knocking on that door, and I'm telling you, we ought to continue knocking on the door of God's heart and knocking on the door of our loved ones around us until they come to Christ by the grace of God and are born again. There's no reason we can't have revival in America, amen, and see our church houses filled up with sinners being baptized, going to the church, and rejoicing in God. Hallelujah. Coming to the house of God and worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. That's right. Pray for them patiently. Then I want to say you ought to plead with them. Not only plead with them patiently, but prayerfully. Romans 10:1, Paul said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Isn't it something Brother Steve taught on prayer in Sunday school this morning? I wonder if we're pleading with sinners prayerfully. Amen. Hallelujah. What I'm talking about is talking to them and finding that closet Brother Steve talked about, closing ourselves in it and asking God to show them mercy. Oh, if we've forgotten we serve a merciful God today. Amen. God that's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance and be saved. Hallelujah. Hey, are you listening to me? We ought to plead very prayerfully. Yeah. It ought to be like that little old black lady. Said they had a black church in town, had a beer hall next to it. And said the church had been praying for years that God had moved that building out away from them. And said one morning they come to church on Sunday morning, said that beer hall had been burned down. And said they started service and said the preacher said, Lord, I said, I'm glad that beer, I hate to see it burned down, but I'm glad it's gone. That one little old black woman jumped up and down, just shouted and run all over the building and carried on. The preacher said, what in the world are you carrying on like that for? She said, 'cause I finally put some feet on them, they're prayers of yours. You'll catch that after a while. Now I'm going to tell you, it ain't going to do us much good to pray unless we put some feet on our prayers that we're praying. That's exactly what I'm trying to get across. We ought to plead with them patiently. We ought to plead with them prayerfully that they'd get saved by the grace of Almighty God. Then I want to say thirdly, we ought to plead with them with passion. Romans 10:1 said, my heart's desire. I wonder how much love we have for sinners today. Amen. Come on in the house now. Amen. Do we really pattern our life after the Lord Jesus? He said, I've come into the world that you might have life. And he said, that life that I've come to give you, it's going to cost me to lay down my life. That I might take it up again. Christ was willing to die for souls.
Amen.
To die for people. I wonder if the church today, in fact, I don't wonder, I know it doesn't. I know it doesn't. Have the burden in its heart and the passion and love in its heart that it ought to have for those that are without God and without hope. When was the last time that we knelt somewhere and let hot tears run down our cheeks and pleaded with God to be merciful to a lost sinner? I'm talking about giving our whole life into it and being willing to die for their soul. I thank the missionaries who went on the foreign field. Nate Saint. Those men that flew with him down to the Aucklin Indians and died down there in the river. And that same fellow that put a spear through them. Baptized, was it Nate Saint or the other fellow? Somebody help me out. Huh?
Elliot,
yeah. Baptized a man that was with him named, what's his first name?
Jim Elliot.
And baptized his wife and children. The same black Anka Indian that killed Jim Elliot baptized Elliot's wife and children. He gave his life for it. But I'm telling you, he was rewarded. I think of John and Betty Stamm that went to China and lost their heads for the gospel. But I'm telling you, great is the reward of a martyr in heaven. Is anybody listening to anything I'm saying today? Plead with her. Plead with your mother. Plead. Plead with them. Plead. I'm telling you this morning, we ought to be pleading with those people, just pleading with people that are around us this morning. All right. I think here's where the rubber's going to start meeting the road now. We need to, God help us. Hosea here is telling these children to plead for their mother. Plead with her. In other words, plead with your parents. Plead with your mother. Plead. Plead with your parents.
Amen.
Wonder how many in here this morning have parents that are lost and without God.
Amen.
Mommies and daddies that you know that are lost and without God. Can I ask you a question this morning? Can you bear? Can we, any of us, bear to stand at the great white throne judgment of God and watch God cast our mommy and God cast our daddy into hell? If we have not had the grace about us to go tell them about Jesus, tell them about Calvary, tell them about the gospel, I'm telling you, it'll be a sad day for a lot of people. When we stand at the white throne judgment and watch God cast our mommies and our daddies into hell. Let me ask some of you children in here. You live with your parents. You know your parents. You know how they live. I'm talking to you young kids now. Do they live like they're really saved? Do they live like they're born again? Do they live like they know God? If they don't, young person, if they don't, teenager, you're not too young to get on your face before God and pray for that mommy or pray for that daddy that you're still living with that you know is lost and going to hell.
Amen.
Oh, plead with your mother, plead. Plead with them earnestly.
Amen.
Come on now. Somebody help me out.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Won't that be a horrible sight? An awful feeling? To see mommy and daddy cast into hell and know that we hadn't even had enough grace about us to go tell them.
Amen.
That judgment's coming. That judgment is coming and it is coming, folks. And it's not far down the road.
Yes.
I'm here to tell you the day is at hand. I'm telling you, we need to look up for our redemption draws nigh. The day is at hand. And I wonder what the church is really doing today. When they bombed Pearl Harbor, somebody said, I'm afraid all you done was woke up a sleeping giant. I'm telling you, God needs to wake up a sleeping giant, and that's the church of the living God. You realize that all power is given under Christ in heaven and in earth. And brother, we're His church. We're His body on this earth. And that power, that virtue can be given to us. I say amen right there now. Hallelujah.
The church has got a great responsibility. Told the church to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Plead with your mother. Plead. And let me say one thing. Plead with them respectfully. Remember Jonathan and Saul? Remember how Saul wanted to kill David? And Jonathan went to his father Saul and said, "What evil hath he done? Has he not done you good all the days of his life?" Jonathan didn't rant and rave. You know why some people won't listen to us anymore? We want to get in their face and rant and rave about something. Instead of just giving them the simple gospel and tell them about the love of God, we've got to address every problem that they have. And their problems are not their problems. Their problem is that in their heart they're lost and going to hell. And until that gets solved, nothing else matters. We won't try to get the TV out of people's homes and get people lost dressing right and get them looking right. And I'll tell you, we'll make a bunch of Pharisees out of them sitting on a pew and they'll die and go to hell. It's a heart problem, ladies and gentlemen. It is a heart problem we ought to be dealing with. Amen. Let me ask you something. Do you judge by the outward appearance or do you judge righteous judgment? Jesus said, judge righteous judgment. When Israel saw Saul, they said, surely he's the man. He's the head and shoulders above everybody else. And in the heart of God, God said, no, I've got a little ruddy-faced boy out there that nobody wouldn't have. He's the one, praise God. I've anointed and chosen to feed my people Israel. Talking about David? And even when Samuel went to anoint David, all of his brothers passed before him before David. And God said, that ain't him, that ain't him, that ain't him. Finally, all of them passed by and Samuel said, have you got any more boys? He said, I just got one. He said, you wouldn't be interested in him. He's a little old ruddy-faced fella out there feeding the flock. Said, you wouldn't at all be interested in him. Samuel said, bring him by. When David passed by, he's the one that got the anointing. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Hallelujah to God. That's right. That's right. David got it. A little bitty old nobody. And I'm going to tell you, most of the time, it's them little bitty old nobodies out there that nobody wants anything to do with that will wind up doing something for God. There's not many mighty, not many noble chosen. God will choose the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to tell you, God chooses them little nobodies, them little backwoods, country bumpkin boys that know nothing at all. Amen. Didn't even know John 3:16. But God will save them, hallelujah, and call them to preach the gospel and tell folks about the grace of God. Oh, go plead with them. Hallelujah. I'm pleading with you this morning from the pulpit of this church, preaching the gospel to you the best way I know how, to tell you that God's Son came into the world, amen, and died a cruel death at the hands of sinful men, was buried in a borrowed grave, and 3 days later, woo, he come out of the grave, and he's got death and hell. Amen. The seed of it about his burial this morning. Amen. What a God we have. Wouldn't be ashamed to tell folks about Him. Praise God. He's the man. Hallelujah. Amen. Now we're to plead with Him respectfully like Jonathan did. We're to plead with Him reasonably like Paul did when he dealt with Felix. He said, and as Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. Old Felix began to tremble. And he answered like most people do today, go thy way. And here's what he said. He said, I'll call thee when I have a more convenient season. In other words, he said, Paul, don't you call me. I'll call you. Ain't that the way it is when you try to talk to most people about their soul? They'll say, if I need to talk to you, I'll give you a call. I wouldn't let that stand in my way. I'd go on back in hell. Come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. Praise God, I just go on back anyway and plead with them, reason with them. Reason with them about righteousness. How many of your souls need to be made righteous? If unrighteous soul meets God, they're like filthy rags and they're going to hell. He pleads with them about judgment. He pleads with them about temperance. Then I want to say we're to plead with them reassuringly.
Psalm 86:5 said, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." Buddy, I'll tell you, when we plead with our parents, plead with them reassuringly that God's got the mercy. God's a merciful God. But Sue Anbecker has been talking to her daddy. I don't know what the latest report is, but I wouldn't give up, boy. I mean, if he's made one indication that he realizes he needs Christ, I'd pour on the coals. I'd get in the prayer closet and set that closet on fire, hallelujah to God, with my prayers. And I'd go see my daddy and reassure him that there's a God in heaven that loves him so much that he died for him on a cruel cross, that he suffered like no other man suffered. His own mama looked up into his face, beaten beyond recognition, and said, "That couldn't possibly be my boy. I don't even recognize my boy. His entrails were hanging out. His brow was pierced. Blood streamed down his face and his side. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, that he suffered in body and suffered in soul like no other man has." And we ought to reassure people that if God went to that length to save a sinner, that they can get saved by the grace of God if they'll come to him. Amen. So plead with our parents. And I want to say this. Whew. Some of you in here may need to plead with your partner. And when I say partner, I'm not talking about queers. I'm talking about your wife or your husband. You know, that's the way they got things now. You can have partners. Baloney partners. I saw something the other day where an individual left everything they had to their partner, and their partner was a dog. God help us. It ain't partner, friend, it's husband and wife. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, they're not made the same way either. I might as well hit that a little bit while I'm there. I never have understood that. That is one sin I have never understood in my life. I'm being honest with you. I'm not trying to propagate adultery no more, but I can understand it. But I cannot understand homosexuality. A man crawling in bed with another hair-legged man. I don't understand that. Not are y'all afraid to say amen? Afraid somebody out there will hear you? Two women crawling. It's not partners. They're still letting them have insurance for it because they're partners. Letting them get married. How in God's name can two men get married or two women get married? You know what they're doing? You know how sinful America is? They're letting these women marry each other like that. Then they're going to these seed banks and one of them is getting implanted with seed and bearing a child and they're calling that child their baby.
Right.
That's how wicked America is.
Yeah.
God help us. Now, you ought to plead with your wife or plead with your husband. He said, "Plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband." You'd be surprised. There's numbers of people that are unequally yoked in America. Man married to a woman that's lost or a woman married to a man that's lost. Now I'm telling you, you ought to plead with them. Somebody said, "Well, they'll get mad at me." Bless God, let them get mad. Thinking you ain't got the same shoes to get glad in. Amen.
Amen.
I'd plead with them in the right way, but I'd plead with them.
Amen.
To get born again. You realize some of you mom and dad is in here that one of you's lost or both of you's lost. You're raising the children.
Right.
And those children are going to face the same God you're facing. And some of us in here have grandchildren. And those grandchildren are going to face the same God that we're facing. I don't want to make them mad. I'd rather make them mad than see them die and go to hell, friend. I don't care how mad they get at me. Don't bother me a lick. They can look down their eyebrows at me, whatever they want to do. I could give a flip less. But if I was a woman married to a man and knew he was lost, I'd put a burr under his saddle, buddy.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all come on in the house now.
Amen.
There are ways of friendly persuasion. Amen. That's right. Vice versa. He wouldn't rest day or night if he slept in my house and eat my table. Come on now. Neither would a woman if she's lost. That's right. And I'm going to tell you, people think it's funny. But I'm going to tell you, when your soul is frying in hell, you'll realize it ain't funny, friend. We're not playing games. God's not playing. God wasn't playing games with Israel. And God's not about to play games with you and I today. He's not a game player. He deals with reality.
Amen.
Reality. Plead. All plead with him earnestly. Plead with that husband. Plead with that wife. May I say you ought to plead with him tenderly.
Amen.
That's right. Plead with him tenderly. Let them know that you've got a heart for them, that you love them. That's your desire. That you and that you go to heaven together. Amen.
Amen.
Show them you've got a heart of love and you're tender-hearted. I'm going to tell you, we've raised up such a generation of hard-hearted Baptists.
Amen.
Come on, listen to Brother Hall a minute. I have never in my born days, Brother Steve, have I seen so many Baptists that are so hard-hearted as what we've got today. I go to camp meetings and guys will get up and preach on this and that and they'll climb the walls. And a man will get up and preach on Calvary and the grace of God and they'll sit there and look at him like a calf in the new gate. And I'm wondering, what in the world are they thinking about? Hard-hearted people, buddy. I'm telling you, there's some hard-hearted folk in this world today.
Amen.
And a whole lot of them fills the pews, fills the pulpits of Baptist churches, independent Baptist churches. Makes me wonder sometimes how much they care about the souls of their people.
Amen.
That they pastor. Plead with them tearfully. There's nothing wrong with shedding some tears, ladies and gentlemen. Man, somebody said, "Well, I'm a man and I don't shed tears." No, you're not a you're not a man. If you're ashamed to shed tears for God, you're a fool. Tears speak a language that nothing else in a lip and tongues can't say. I mean, it's just like mama. You remember how it was, fellas, when we get out, get into mischief, when we get caught, mama would walk in where we at, them tears running down her cheeks, and I'm talking about when we got too old for mama to spank. And them tears running down mama's cheeks and she began to plead with you. Oh, I've had my mama do that so many times. I've heard her so many times, "Son, please." Before Brenda's mother was killed, Miss Hall and I out of sorts with God. Under the chastening hand of God, He had taken everything that we had. We had absolutely nothing. And her mother come by where I worked every Friday. "I'd like to see you in church on Sunday. Will you please come?" Them tears well up in her eyes. And I'm going to tell you something, boy. Them tears got a language you just can't hardly say no to. She never got the chance to see us get right with God. But I'm here to tell you, she's seeing it right now. From heaven's portal. And I believe she's rejoicing. Oh, yes, she prayed for her children. And at least one of them got in by the grace of God.
She got saved and got to praying for her husband. It wasn't long until Brenda Daddy came in one day and said, "Well, Gary, guess what happened to me Sunday?" I said, "Let me guess. You got saved." He said, "You got that right."
Amen.
Took that guitar that he used to go to the honky-tonks and sang all them old country and western songs in them honky-tonks. Started singing songs in church, picking that Gibson flat-top hummingbird guitar. Amen.
Amen.
Singing for the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm just telling you that, hey, pleading will pay off.
Yes, sir.
Praying will pay off. Plead with them and get this word. And I hope I pronounce it right. Tacitly. T-A-C-I-T-L-Y. And that's not tactfully either. That word means silently, without words, to plead by action or example.
Amen.
You can plead with that loved one by example. There have been a whole lot of women had a lost husband and caved in to him. I wouldn't cave in to him. Somebody said, "Do I have to obey my husband?" I know some of you ain't going to like this. I could give a rat flip less. But that Bible said, "Women, obey your husbands in the Lord."
Amen.
I was a woman, my husband came up to me and he was lost. Told me, "Well, you can't go to church tonight, or you can't go to a meeting at the church, or you can't participate in this." I'd say, "Sir, honey, I love you with all my heart, but Jesus saved me, and I'm going to church. You can do whatever you want to do."
Right.
He will find out that alimony and child support is not worth saying no. Are you listening to me? Plead with them. Then I want to say we ought to plead for the prodigal. I don't say too much about the prodigal because I'm preaching on him tonight in a way I've never preached him before. Never. Any of you in here got a prodigal son? Got a child down in the hog pen? Got a child in a foreign country? Plead with him. Plead for him. Plead with him. Don't give up. Don't give up. Plead earnestly with that prodigal. You know what? When he finally decides to come home, you know what he'll find? He'll find that father standing there with arms wide open.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Ain't that right? There ain't a daddy in here that wouldn't welcome their child home. Not one. And I'm going to tell you something. They can be a prodigal sitting right on the church pew. They can be a prodigal sitting at your home and around your table. And still in their life living in a far country. Plead with your mother. Plead. Are we pleading for souls today? People, our husband, wife, children, our prodigals, they're away from us, out in the world. Are we pleading for them? Or are we letting the world roll by and watch them drift off into hell? Let's stand together.